the last tier with Kaiser still leading to...
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. We appreciate their sponsorship during their championship meet. They had a couple of stakes yesterday, washed off the turf, but kind of one of them was notable to us up here because Ladies Island won the off-the-turf Ladies Turf Sprint, which was no longer on the turf, but Ladies Island was most more dirt meant anyway. Ladies Island owned by Rich Averill and Matisse Racing, Paul Matisse, Duke Matisse and company. And trained by Georgina Baxter. I said it yesterday, Ladies Island sticks in my craw a little bit because of the second place finish in the Honorable Miss up at Saratoga, which cost me some contest money. I had a nice little double going with that one in the stretch. I thought she was going to get it done, just couldn't. But won yesterday, won the previous start down at Gulfstream 2, the Sugar Swirl. So she ends her career with two nice stakes wins down at Gulfstream and heads off to auction. This week, Tuesday, maybe, facing Tipton down in Kentucky. But congratulations to the Matisse gang and Rich Averill, Georgina Baxter and company. Ismael Jaramillo was on board for a nice win. And as I say, and Georgina Baxter was interviewed after the race. You know, she said, the horses won on the turf. We were okay if we had firm turf. I didn't want yielding turf. And as the day went along, it started raining a little bit early, and then it came down pretty good, and they moved the races off the turf, and Ladies Island, that, you know, kind of went right into her wheelhouse because she's more of a main track runner anyway over the career, and had some off-track race, good off-track races as well. So again, in the off-the-turf Ladies Turf Sprint, Ladies Island got it done. Also on the day yesterday at Gulfstream, the Suwannee River was off the turf. Great Island won that at a short price for Chad Brown. I didn't know what to do with that one because that was more of a turf horse. So I looked in other directions in that race. But after a bad start, Great Island got it going in the stretch and got up in the shadow of the wire at a short price. Again, in the off-the-turf Suwannee River down at Gulfstream. Nice day for Irod Ortiz down at Gulfstream. I don't know what he ended up with. At one point, he had six at one point. I'll look that up. But nice day also for our friend Ron Nicoletti down at Gulfstream. I was saying during the day, I think that if you go to the Gulfstream website, you can get Ron's picks and Acacia's picks every day, a nice PDF sheet. And I usually look during the day at the tracks I'm handicapping as well. Try to pull up the track handicapper and see how they're doing. Ron's top pick won the first nine races at Gulfstream yesterday, which included a couple of $15 winners. So it wasn't like they were all chalk, but Ron Nicoletti with a nice day yesterday on the public handicapping side. I felt like I had a pretty good day. I think I was 6-4 on the day, 7 for the day down at Gulfstream. I had three $15 winners in the mix, but it was not a Ron Nicoletti day. It was a good day, but Ron knocked out of the park there. Also at Gulfstream yesterday, just wanted to mention that maiden special race that we had talked about a little bit on the handicapper's report, because it did feature the debut of Code of Honor's sibling, Bears Watching. Bears Watching, leaving from the outside post position, winds up third in the career debut. Democracy wins for Todd Pletcher. I liked Democracy. And got a nice 50. That was one of the $15 winners I had. Democracy, first time out for Pletcher, gets it done. But maybe more notable, G-Bar was a good second, led much of the late portion of the race, and Democracy just kept coming, and got up by a nose. But G-Bar, a good solid second, which I think flattered Candyman Rocket a little bit later in the Sam Davis, because Candyman Rocket in the big maiden breaker had finished in front of G-Bar. So maybe you got a little bit of a barometer read coming out of that maiden special earlier in the day down at Tampa. Updated Kentucky Derby leaderboard. Risk-taking moves on to the list. Candyman Rocket moves on to the list, both with 10-point wins yesterday at Aqueduct and Tampa. Capo Kane picked up some points and so moves up the list a little bit. None of those are necessarily safe, though, because risk-taking Candyman Rocket, they grabbed 10 points. There was 10-point races yesterday. Capo Kane with some extra points moves to 12 points. Top of the list right now, 30 points is essential quality. But we move into, I'm just looking, we have three more 10-point races left. The El Camino Real at Golden Gate, the Southwest at Oaklawn, and the Battaglia at Turfway, February 13th, 15th, 26th. Those are still 10-point races. But then we move to the higher value, where it's going to start to become a lot more important. Starting February 13th, the Risen Star next Saturday. And I haven't looked, but I'm assuming when we talked to Brian Nadeau yesterday, did note that the card was supposed to be pulled yesterday. And as I said, I was kind of obviously busy doing, I'm just seeing if I can quickly pull up to see if, there it is, the 13th card has been pulled. So you can start working on those PPs already for next Saturday at Fairgrounds with a good stakes card. And I'm just scrolling down here to see what we wound up with as a list of entries in the Risen Star. Boy, nice full field in the Risen Star. Field of 13 entered in the Risen Star. Proxy is in there. Midnight Bourbon, both coming out of the stakes race down there a few weeks ago. Mandaloon, who, again, I was going to kind of give Mandaloon a little bit of a pass on the first time around two turns. I'll be very interested to see what Mandaloon does this coming Saturday. But as I say, a field of 13, and their Senior Buscador could be a little bit intriguing as well. That's all next Saturday at the Fairgrounds, which again is the first 50-point race. The Fountain of Youth, the Gotham, Tampa Bay Derby, San Felipe, Rebel, Louisiana Derby, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as you go down the list. Actually, as we get to, I'll take that back, as we get to the Louisiana Derby, that's a 100-point race. Then the UAE Derby, the Florida Derby, the Wood Memorial Bluegrass, those are all 100-point races too. But those 50-point races, you start to pack away 50 points. You can maybe breathe a little easier. As I say, I don't know whether anybody on the list right now is a clear shoe-in at this point. Essential Quality, 30 points. Keep Me in Mind, 18, Midnight Bourbon, 16. And, 18, 16 is not necessarily a definite shoe-in. So everybody on the list will still be looking to add some points over the next couple of months to guarantee themselves a spot in the Kentucky Derby starting gate. All right, let's do a little stakes recap. And I will say the three-year-old stakes races, the Withers, the Sam Davis, and the San Vicente out in Southern California. I'm saving those for towards the end of the show. Going to be joined a little later on by Peter Thomas Fornital. He, of course, of the In the Money podcast and more. But I saw Pete had a write-up kind of previewing the three-year-old stakes. He does some work for Sky Sports over in the UK. So I thought we'd reach out to him and get some of his thoughts on the results of the three-year-old stakes. So we'll go over those three a little bit later in the program, but right now let's take a look at some of that nice stakes action earlier in the day at Tampa Bay Downs. Going to start things out with the Endeavor Grade 3 event on the grass, mile and a 16th. You know, we did the Stakes Preview, Mike Callahan and I, and talked a little bit about this Tampa card. Obviously, yesterday on Racing Across America, Ren Carruthers was on, who does the paddock commentary down there. And I said in this race, I thought if you were playing those spread races, the pick races, you could probably lean on the five or the six in here. Counterparty Risk for Chad Brown and Klarovich. Looks like an up-and-comer, had the look of an up-and-comer, just missed in a stakes debut in the previous start. I tilted in that direction, but I had no argument against New York Girl, the Mott runner, who was a nice winner in the U.S. debut after having started the career running in a number of group races over in Europe. So to me, it looked like it was going to be those two, and that's pretty much the way it turned out coming down the stretch. Counterparty Risk, the number five horse. New York Girl, the number six horse. They will run 1-2 with the Chad Brown trainee winding up as the 4-5 favorite at 8-5 New York Girl. Margaret's Joy at 14-1 winds up third. But you can see there, holding off the oncoming New York Girl is Counterparty Risk in career start number four. So it was a pretty good-looking effort there for a lightly raced, now four-year-old filly. So they have a nice, you know, filly for the Filly and Mare Turf Stakes in the stable for Chad and Klarovich. You'd have to think, probably see this one at some point up at Saratoga this summer. But getting it done, again, a short price, $380. And the two logicals, short exacta two, $7.40 for a couple of bucks on the exacta. But again, if you were kind of spreading, you may have been able to pare down in that race and offered you some opportunity to shop around maybe a little bit later on. 88 buyer figure, so a nice buyer number for the win. Paired up a couple of 88s, had run the 88 in the stakes race just prior to that. So, again, Chad Klarovich getting it done in the Endeavor. Let's go a little bit earlier on the card. Take a look at the Suncoast. These are the three-year-old fillies, potentially on the trail to the Kentucky Oaks. Hard to know whether this set of three-year-old fillies will wind up sending some candidates to the Kentucky Oaks, but it was a decent little performance from Curlin's Catch. Gulf Coast was my original pick. That one scratched to go in the stake that was originally scheduled for today at Aqueduct. And if you haven't heard, Aqueduct, they announced yesterday, they're expecting snow today at Aqueduct, so they postponed the card today. They're going to run the same card tomorrow, Monday. So offering a little opportunity to have some Monday fun at Aqueduct as they have moved today's card to tomorrow for Aqueduct because of anticipated weather today. But Rudy Brissett scratched Gulf Coast out of this race, anticipating a lighter, smaller field. It is a smaller field, but I said yesterday, I'm not sure. I think he may regret having made the trip to New York because this one scratched, and we had Riley Mott on yesterday. Jade Empress wound up scratching Honorific, who I had right underneath in my mix, scratched as well. So I wound up moving up Curlin's Catch, Mark Cassie trainee that had started a couple of times up at Woodbine to begin the career, but then broke the maiden on the move to dirt at Gulfstream. Did it on a series of improving numbers. So I landed there, and Curlin's Catch is going to be the number four horse, getting it done here under Antonio Gallardo. Be Sneaky, number eight, runs second. Number nine runs third, El Malaccio, another horse that had started the career at Woodbine. But it's a nice win here. Chart margin is 4.5 lengths. You know, no real threat for Curlin's Catch. As I say, these could be horses on the way to the Kentucky Oaks. It was a 79 buyer, so it wasn't a stellar buyer. But as you can see, with the margin, Gallardo didn't really have to work down the stretch. Could the horse have run faster, opened up more? Do you want to, or do you want to save the horse for the next effort? So this one's maybe a little bit of a question mark. Again, the 79 buyer was an improvement, however, on what we saw. So it's a continuing series of improving numbers for Curlin's Catch, and it is now a 2-for-2 record on dirt. So the Cassie trainee, again, I don't know whether the numbers are jumping off the page necessarily, but they're improving with each start, and we're 2-for-2 on the dirt. We'll see where they go next with Curlin's Catch. A nice looking win yesterday at Tampa in the the Suncoast. This was a fun race. You know, I said it when we had Bren Carruthers on yesterday. We talked about it again, Mike Callahan and I, in on the stakes preview. The Tampa Bay, a competitive, I thought a very competitive race, where I think you could have made cases for quite a few in here. But I wound up landing on Eons, and I thought Talk or Listen was interesting too. And I showed on the handicappers, or on the stakes preview, their last race. They were both coming out of an optional claiming event where Talk or Listen had won, Eons had run second, right here at Tampa. And they were long prices on the morning line, and I was curious to see if that would hold up, and it did. Eons, my top pick, was 19-1. Talk or Listen was 16-1. They're going to wind up second and fourth. Eons makes a nice late run. In the third spot, I had Get Smokin', who I thought was going to be the catch-me-if-you-can horse, but Get Smokin' early wound up letting Proven Strategies go out and take the lead. Get Smokin', clever ride from Junior Alvarado. Get Smokin's the number three, and he had taken over going into the turn, as they said. A horse that typically is a need for the lead type, just kind of sat and stalked, made the move on the turn, then gets the jump on them in the stretch. But my top pick, 19-1, Eons, the number eight. Nice late run to be second. Number two, Admission Office, runs third. And Talk or Listen, the other price horse I thought was interesting, winds up fourth in there. So I was pretty happy with the results. I had played up, boxed up a little exactly. You know, it was my top pick and my third pick. Third pick over the top pick, boxed them up a little bit. Got $150 plus for the exacta for a couple of horses that I thought were logical. But, as noted, it was a competitive race. It was a big full field, and you were getting value all over the place. It was the kind of race where you could have played around a little bit, had some fun, and you wound up with a fun result, certainly, there in the Tampa Bay at Tampa, the self-named Tampa Bay at Tampa. So again, nice result there for me. Hopefully you were on board as well, because it was not a reach. I mean, Get Smokin', talented front runner for Tommy Bush, who had won the Hill Prince two starts back October at Belmont. And you know, you got a little bit of a price on that one too at 4-1. You got a $10 mutual on a nice graded stakes winner, New York-based graded stakes winner for Tommy Bush, coming off some good workouts at Palm Meadows. January 19th, a 56 and change workout down on the turf at Palm Meadows. And it just finished a close-up fourth in the Hollywood Derby after leading most of the way. But again, it was a crafty ride from Castellano with a horse that seems to really want the lead, to say, nah, if somebody's going to go out there, really push it like that, I'll sit back and make my move. And as they say, I was up close enough to get the jump on the rest of them. Nice 95 buyer figure there for Get Smokin' to get it done. But as they say, nice second place finish from Eons. All right, also want to look on the, talked a little bit about the three-year-old fillies at Tampa over at Santa Anita yesterday. There was also some three-year-old filly action, which potentially, again, plays into the Oaks moving along. It was the La Virginess yesterday, and Moonlight D'Oro is going to go off as the second choice at 6-5. Calypso, even money favorite at as the two horse in here, and it will be Moonlight D'Oro for Richard Mandela, number three horse, coming off a maiden breaker over at Los Al. But again, a nice series of improving numbers for Moonlight D'Oro. Validated that win to break the maiden by winning here. Chart margin of 1.5 lengths. Calypso for Bob Baffert runs second, and Moraz runs third. Nice win, though, for Moonlight D'Oro in career start number four, stakes debut. Has now paired up a couple of daylight wins, stretching out the mile at Los Al last time and the mile here in the Las Virgenes. So you'd have to think this horse becomes, again, a runner in the conversation for the Kentucky Oaks a little further down the calendar. And finally here on our stakes preview, take a look at the King Cotton at Oaklawn. Fun little sprint stake yesterday, $150,000. Track was sloppy. They had some weather at Oaklawn. Favorite in here is going to be the number three, Flagstaff, for John Sadler, coming out of a second-place finish in September in the Santa Anita Sprint Championship. So there was a little bit of a layoff to contend with Flagstaff. Boldore is a horse I've liked throughout the career. Started the career with a couple of nice races with horses that seemed to have promise. This horse seemed to have promise. And in the Steve Asmussen barn, it's pretty much lived up to it. I mean, the win yesterday is career win number 5 in career start number 14, over $250,000 in the bank. So hasn't been a superstar, but has been clearly productive and productive at, you know, the stakes level of performances. Was coming out of a stakes win most recently at Delta Downs, but got a little overlooked yesterday. I mean, it's an Asmussen runner coming out of a stakes win. Boldar's the number 5 here, who is going to grind it down on the outside. Just keeps coming. At 9-1, running second, Seven Nation Army, Mr. Jägermeister, the number 6, runs third. But again, pulls away the chart margin, eventually a length. As mid-stretch, you wondered, was he going to get in gear? And just kept grinding, and then pulls away, as they say, to get it done by a length at $21.60. So, you know, again, Asmussen with a good proven stakes quality runner coming out of his stakes win down at Oaklawn, get $20 plus. That was a nice win for Boldore. And we'll see. They have a nice series of sprint stakes down there at Oaklawn that you would have to think are on the radar for Boldore going forward. He probably winds up button heads, though, at some point with Whitmore, which may be a little bit tougher. But it was a 100 buyer yesterday on an off track for Boldore. So, again, nice performance there. Nice stakes action yesterday. You know, we anticipated at the beginning of the day with the great stakes action at Tampa Bay, played out that way. Even the two stakes at Gulfstream off the turf were fun. Again, Ladies Island with kind of local connections that are easy to root for. Again, a little bit later on, we'll watch the Sam Davis. Nova Rags ran second, local connections there with Michael Shanley. So congratulations to him on a nice performance underneath in the Sam Davis. As I say, we'll look at that a little bit later on as well. I think we've covered everything here. Oh, I don't know whether I promote us up at the beginning of the show, because we do have a couple of promos here at the Racebook today. Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon. Super Bowl Sunday, going to do something special, double promotion. There's a $100 win a bet and a match bet promotion happening here this afternoon at the Clubhouse Racebook. We'd love to have you swing on by and enjoy that this afternoon. 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. I'll also note, yesterday we had a new promotion, Players Bankroll, and 10 patrons were randomly selected yesterday. Each got $25 to place a bet during the afternoon on behalf of the Bankroll team. At the end of the day, everybody split up the kitty, and it was a fun day. The Bankroll, I think 4 of the 10 hit and made some nice money. And so the Bankroll at the end of the day turned out to be a nice little chunk of change that everybody split up, and everybody walked away, I think, happy, because you got some free money there. So congratulations to the folks on the Players Bankroll team with a nice performance yesterday here. One of the new promotions here at Capital OTB. All right, we will head to a break. When we come back, as usual here, on a Sunday edition of Racing Across America, after stakes previews, stakes reviews, we will move on, do a little handicapping. I think today, with Aqueduct out of the mix, I pulled some Oaklawn in. And so since I've handicapped Oaklawn, and I really like Oaklawn, maybe we'll take a look at one of the pick fours at Oaklawn today. We'll go through that. And again, a little bit later on, Peter Thomas Fornital, the In the Money podcast and more. As I say, we've saved the three-year-old stakes to see what Pete thought of the three-year-old action yesterday. That's coming up a little bit later on as well. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
BetWare's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Super Bowl Sunday should be a good game. As a former quarterback myself, I mean, back when I was a kid, this is a nice matchup. This is going to be fun today. And we'll see if we can give you some ideas here to make a little money. Maybe have a little money for your prop bets. I heard the prop bets are always kind of fun and quirky. I heard one yesterday. I was listening to the radio yesterday. One of the prop bets that's floating around out there, will there be a scoring drive that takes less time than the time it takes the singer to sing the national anthem? And where'd they come up with that one? But I think I'd jump in. I would say no, I think. Although national anthem is about maybe a two-minute song, you could have a scoring drive. Yeah, I mean, you get an interception or you get a fumble down within the 20-yard line. Yeah, you could get your drive under two. Maybe it's more interesting than I first gave it credit for, the national anthem time prop bet. All right, but we will look at some horse racing bets. As I say, I like Oaklawn. I'm happy when the Oaklawn season comes. I think you can find a lot of value. As you get to this point and the next couple of weeks, I even like it more because you need a couple of weeks to kind of get a feel for who's, you know, on the jockey and the trainer side, who's gotten hot. There are names you clearly have to watch, obviously, but then some others maybe are like Federico Villafranco, who's typically pretty good down at Oaklawn. Last year, it took him a while to get going. It was about the middle of the meet before he really started to hit the way he does, and so you had to kind of be aware of that a little bit. So again, a couple of weeks in, you start to maybe get a better feel for things. But again, I enjoy the Oaklawn meet for the value it offers, and I like the pick bets there. And we'll take a look at the early pick four, see if we can give you some ideas there. I don't have a ticket formulated, but we'll give you some thoughts for maybe a ticket you can formulate a little bit later on. Oaklawn this afternoon, I'm just looking. They have a earlier than normal post time, 12:30 their time. That means they'll kick off at about 1:30. And again, if you didn't hear earlier, Aqueduct canceled today. Essentially, there's no racing today. It hasn't technically canceled. They took today's card and moved it to tomorrow. So they'll be racing at Aqueduct tomorrow, but it's the same card. Today's card is intact. If you've handicapped, just shift all that information over to tomorrow. But without any Aqueduct in the mix, you know, today I'll be looking at some Tampa and some Gulfstream and some Oaklawn, which again has a little bit of an earlier post time today. The early pick four kicks off race number two at Oaklawn this afternoon. Calendar condition claimers going 8.5 furlongs. I have it 8, 7, 5, and 1. Looking for 8 on top. This horse, a little bit of a layoff concern because wound up the Oaklawn season last March with a pretty good second place finish, claimed out of that one, and then didn't come back until November at Churchill. Now, again, you don't claim, you know, at the $16,000 level, you don't claim in March and think, we'll get a couple of starts in by the time we get to February. You're looking for a little more activity. But the comeback in November was okay. The horse has shown an affinity for Oaklawn. The workouts aren't necessarily jumping off the page. I just thought there was enough there, particularly compared with this field, where I'll tilt slightly in that direction. Second slot, I'm going to go with Kurilov. This is a horse that also has done well in the past at Oaklawn. Most recently, early December, was on the synthetic up at Turfway, was claimed out of that race. Limited sample, but the trainer's okay off the claim. But another one I thought, okay, I think class-wise and just with this field fits. Meistermind, I may kick myself that I didn't use this horse a little higher up, though. This is a horse moving into the barn of Robertino Diodoro. He's one of those aforementioned trainers that you have to watch at this meet. And he clearly, we're a little ways into the meet now, and he's doing very well. But I just moved this horse down a little bit in that hasn't been seen in well over a year, early last January, out in Southern California. But it is Robertino Diodoro. There is a steady string of works, so I have that one in the mix as well. Wagon Boss could be an interesting player off the claim earlier in the meet at Oaklawn, a little move up off of that. If that one offers some value, I wouldn't argue looking in that direction as well. Interesting race. I think it's kind of competitive with one of those races where there are things to like, plenty of like, but maybe a couple of question marks about the logical contenders. But I have it in the second at Oaklawn, 8-7-5-1. Race number three at Oaklawn on Sunday afternoon. Bottom level claimers, 6,250. Plain vanilla claimers going a quick 5.5. 7-1-2-6. I went to Raven's Reflection. Has plenty of early speed. Two starts back at Delta Downs, ran 5 furlongs, and kind of stalked and made a little ground in the lane to be a close-up second. Last time on the move over to Oaklawn, showed some early speed before fading, but that was at a starter allowance, 7,500. Those can be kind of salty events. So I think moving into this open claiming race maybe gets a little dose of class relief that'll make that speed we saw last time a little more potent. So Raven's Reflection on top. Best You Ever Seen in the second spot, second off the claim, 4. Potent claiming trainer, Carl Broberg. Broberg, one of those aforementioned trainers, I said, you know, you want to feel around early in the meet. He's a little cool early in the meet here down at Oaklawn. So he's one of those guys, though, as I mentioned with Villafranco last year, you keep your eye on them because it's almost certain that that is going to turn at some point, and you want to kind of be on the cusp of the turn to maybe take advantage of a couple of prices as people say, gee, he's a little bit cool, and then boom, all of a sudden it turns around. I don't know whether this is going to be one of those horses. I just couldn't leave this horse out of the mix because I think at this reduced 6,250 level, this horse is clearly one you have to have in the mix. Recount in the third spot. Been racing against a little bit better throughout the career, really. So another one that is intriguing, perhaps, with a little dose of class relief this afternoon. You're getting 6-1 on the morning line there. Road Game, also a player. Claimed 2 back in the barn of Ingrid Mason. The last few starts were up at Hawthorne. Hawthorne horses have been doing kind of interesting. And that's another thing you want to watch. As they come into Oaklawn from other venues, are some venues better than others as far as coming in from here or there? But the Hawthorne runners seem to have been doing okay. I would say it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but I'm not discounting them, certainly. So in the third at Oaklawn, 7-1-2-6. Race number 4 at Oaklawn this afternoon. Maiden 25-30 claimers going a mile and a 16th. I have the fourth race, 1-7-2-5. West Side Girl on top. Hasn't been seen since a November, middle of November start for trainer Ken McPeak at that point at Churchill when dropped in for a 30 maiden tag. Close up third in there. Now comes down to Oaklawn, moves into the barn of Jerry Hollendorfer, and sticks in the maiden claiming ranks. Excuse me. And again, I go back to what this horse did with a near-miss effort when dropped in for the tag at Churchill. I like that, but was pretty competitive with maiden specials prior to that a little earlier last year down at Gulfstream. So I think this horse class-wise is going to fit really nicely with this claiming bunch, maiden claiming bunch at Oaklawn. West Side Girl on top. Making Progress, though, is Making Progress. If you look at the past three starts, has been kind of on an improving pattern of numbers, has been stepping down the class ladder, however, but ran at this class level last time down at the fairgrounds. Decent little second. I think is set up for a nice run today for trainer Larry Jones from the outside post position. Should be interesting. Duchess Bubbles in the third spot. Comes in from Remington. 2 and 3 starts back. Was in for 25,000 tags and ran well. Last time was in a maiden special event and ran well. So I think looking at the numbers, the improving numbers, and what we saw over at Remington, I think the horse fits okay with this group this afternoon as well. Solemn Oath for the coach, Wayne Lucas, down there at Oaklawn, where he's already had a couple of wins, Wayne Lucas. Solemn Oath could be a player in here also. You know, if you're looking at those multi-race bets, that's one to consider. You know, it's one of those where you have to pare down, pick your spots and whatnot. But if you're looking, I think Solemn Oath is very playable. In the fourth at Oaklawn, I have it 1, 7, 2, and 5. In race number 5 at Oaklawn, wrapping up that early pick 4, I have it 1, 4, 6, and 5. The number 1, First Empress, off the claim for Robertina Diodoro, and that attracted my attention automatically. Again, Diodoro off to a good start at the Oaklawn meet, no surprise. Diodoro very good off the claim. This horse was racing against similar class-wise in the book anyway at Churchill. On the venue move, maybe this is a little bit of a dose of relief. Beaten favorite last time, and again, moves into the Diodoro barn off the claim. Class-wise, stacks up nicely with this group, so just makes sense. First Empress on top. Forever Noah in the second spot. You have to draw a line through the last race. It was an off-the-turf, sloppy track at Indiana Grand, and it's such an aberration as compared to the other races just underneath, and I have to think the sloppy track played into that. Now, that said, it was an off-track yesterday at Oaklawn, and you have to look at the weather again today. And if it turns out it's off going again today down at Oaklawn, maybe you downgrade Forever Noah a little bit. Although sloppy tracks are different at different tracks, the races just before the last race are clearly good enough to put Forever Noah in the mix here. So again, it's one of those, maybe you look at the board and you look at the track condition and go from there. Third spot, Fancified. Two starts back at Remington. Ran okay on the dirt. Last time was on the turf down at Sam Houston. There are races a little further down the page, though, that are pretty good. Some of those were on turf, but there was a October race at Remington on dirt that was clearly good enough with this bunch. And then into win for the aforementioned Federico Villafranco, who this year, as opposed to last, this year he's gotten off to a good start. And so this one, I think, is going to be a player as well coming in from Remington and fitting nicely with this particular group. In the sequence, this is maybe the one that is a little most wide open. And I think there are two or three others in here that I probably could have made similar cases for. But for me, in the fifth at Oaklawn, I have it 1, 4, 6, and 5. So there are some ideas. And again, we will be taking a closer look at Oaklawn this afternoon during OTB Live, and again with no aqueduct in the mix, some Tampa and some Gulfstream as well. Another race worth paying attention to this afternoon is going to be out at Santa Anita. It's 1:03 their time out on the West Coast, and they're starting a little early as well. With the Super Bowl today, some tracks are starting early to get people in and get people home so they can get their cheese platter ready for the Super Bowl. But race 5 at Santa Anita this afternoon, 1:03 their time. That's 4:03 our time. So kind of mark it down because it's a maiden special weight that will feature Bezos for Bob Baffert, who is getting all kinds of buzz. A horse that hasn't started yet that was an entrant in the last Derby future pool, which is unusual. Goes out for, you know, the Potent Connection, Starlight Racing and Company, and Bob Baffert. They paid $400,000 for this horse at Keeneland in September 2019. And can Bob Baffert work the Baffert music and get a first start in February and make the Derby? We'll see. we'll certainly get a better idea of what Bezos is this afternoon. I think he's going to have to really knock heads, though, with the other Baffert runner, Tivoli Twirl, who is also a first-time starter. But by twirling candy with some really solid workouts underneath, Bezos may have all he can handle with the other Baffert in here. But it's a field of nine. There are a number of other horses in here with the kind of breeding that says they could wind up being something special. So, again, fifth race today at Santa Anita. Very interesting maiden special event that could produce some runners worth watching looking forward, going forward towards Kentucky Derby and later in the year, three-year-old stakes races as well. But as I say, that fifth at Santa Anita, our time will go off just a little after 4 o'clock. All right. We will take a break when we come back, as promised. Peter Thomas Fornatow from the In the Money podcast and more. As I said, he had a nice little write-up. He does some work for Sky Sports over in the UK, and he had a nice little write-up on the three-year-old stakes that were run around the country yesterday. So I thought we'd reach out to him and get some of his thoughts on the results from those. So we will go over the Withers, the Sam Davis, and the San Vicente. All of that when we come back from this break. Stay tuned.
Horses racing, people betting. It's been going on since before the Roman Empire. And the fastest horse is still the one that wins. Where there's gambling, there's cheating. That hasn't changed either. What has changed are the tools used to combat doping and cheaters. Today, professional horse racing operates under an aggressive anti-doping program, testing labs on par with the Olympics, and standards tougher than human sport. For 85 years, the Association of Racing Commissioners International has fought for safe horses and honest sport. ARCI standards form the basis for the rules of racing. Today, they call for a new expanded program to protect all horses, young and old. To join with them or learn more, visit ARCI.com.
County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. We are reaching out to Mr. Fornatale, and when we get him, we'll pull him into the mix. In the meantime, while we wait for him, and if we don't make connection in a couple of minutes, I'll jump into those replays myself. But in the meantime, I'll just do a little more on-the-fly handicapping because, again, we have Tampa this afternoon, some Oaklawn, some Gulfstream. So I've looked at Tampa, and I thought maybe we'd do a little Tampa pick four as well. I hit the late pick four at Tampa yesterday, and it worked out for me nicely. If you played it, you got the benefit as well, hopefully, of the DQ. For folks who are on the bad side of that DQ, when are you ever on the good side of the DQ? But for me, it worked out yesterday. Tampa's a late pick four, the last race. It wasn't paying great either way, but for 50 cents one way it was paying $60 and the other way it was paying $140. And those two came down the stretch and the $60 horse took the lead and the $140 horse looked like it was going to go by and then just couldn't get by and lost by that much. So I threw up my hands. But then the objection sign comes up and it was one of those herding situations where the inside horse moved out four or five paths and the margin, but boy, the stewards just, there weren't any like huge bumps necessarily, but the margin was enough that I guess it was enough for the stewards. And so they switched things up. So the better, I had, as I say, either way I was going to collect, but it got the much better result there, which seldom seems to happen with those DQs. So again, that was a nice end to the day yesterday at Tampa. And so let's take a look at the late pick four for this afternoon. Calendar condition claimers going six. I have a 2-5, 6-10, Ride Into the Sky. It's Gerald Bennett, Sammy Camacho, the potent team down there at Tampa this season. And this horse clearly fits at this level, having run a decent third in a similar race. Actually, a decent second in a similar race. Two back, ran against it a little bit better and ran third last time. So again, at this class level, two back, the near miss, the good form, the second off the claim, Bennett Camacho, Ride Into the Sky is logical there. Michael Stidham has Ethan Hunt coming down from New York, and I think class-wise is going to fit really nicely with this group. And racing gets better in New York, so you get a venue move and a price move. Ethan Hunt in the mix, and Uncle Hal off a couple of second-place finishes in similar events last time. Makes sense. So 2-5, 6-10 in that sixth at Tampa. Seventh at Tampa, 2-8, 13, 7-9. And the 13 is an AE and a 3 deep on the AE, so you have to check the scratches here to see if that works out. But Dramatic Kitten, Sammy Camacho on board, a runner that I think is going to be a decent fit with this group. Swift Kid, I almost put this horse on top. Just seems to be moving in the right direction, just up against it typically a little bit with the kind of the come from behind style, but we'll see. And if the 13 does make it in, AK Safari, that one I think can be a player, but going to need some help from the scratches. In the 7th, 2-8, 13-7, and if the 13 doesn't get it in the 9. 8th race at Tampa, maiden specials going a mile and 40, 9-2-3-4, core values. Paid under $250,000 for this horse. Has not quite lived up to it yet, but makes a turf to dirt move off an improved performance. Maybe all of that works into this horse finally stepping up and finding a field that she can get through. Forbidden Dream in the second slot off a couple of nice tries most recently. And Baby Gundon in the third spot. Kind of similar to the top pick. Has shown a little improvement start one to start two and may just be primed for another move forward. Eighth at Tampa, 9-2-3-4. Ninth race at Tampa, wrapping up that pick four. 7-2-9-11. I will put Broadway Peggy on top off a couple of good tries at this level most recently. Blue Mistress gets some class relief that could certainly move this horse forward to be a player. But boy, the last couple efforts were not much. So hopefully we get a little value there. But I think, again, in the class relief, maybe we get the wake up. And then in the third slot, Strict Vow, who a couple of third-place finishes, another one that comes from out of it a little bit, so might be up against it, but should be heard from in the lane. In the ninth and final at Tampa, 7-2-9-11. All right, why don't we take another break, and when we come back, either we will have found Pete Fornatale, or I will just jump in and we'll recap those three-year-old stakes races from yesterday. So one way or the other, three-year-old stakes recap coming up after this break. Stay tuned. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB. Welcome back to Racing Across America. We will catch up with Pete Fornatale in the future. I could not make contact with him this morning. Texted back and forth last night, but as I say, we couldn't get in touch this morning, so we will plug him in the future, probably somewhere along the Derby Trail, get some of his three-year-old thoughts going forward. But nice three-year-old action yesterday. Again, Aqueduct, Tampa, Santa Anita, and let's start out at Aqueduct in the Withers. I liked risk-taking, and risk-taking eventually went off as the favorite. I was curious because Capo Kane was coming out of the win in the Jerome, and I was wondering, you know, a little bit of a lesser-known group connections, would that factor into the betting public, or would the win in the Jerome overwhelm that? And you had this horse going against, you know, lesser-known connections, facing a Chad Brown runner that was going to be live, a Todd Pletcher and Donegal Bay that was going to be live, risk-taking for Chad Brown and Klarovich, though. I was attracted in that direction off of the first couple of the starts were just disappointing and then stretched to two turns, and so it's hard to know, did the light bulb go on? Chad Brown in post-race comments kind of credited his team, saying a lot of different people have worked with this horse and got this horse in the right spot, but finally, in career start number three, broke the maiden first time around two turns. So maybe just appreciated the distance or figured it out. Whatever it was off of that main breaker, I liked risk-taking. Risk-taking is going to be the number five horse here in the Klarovich colors. You see him making a nice sweeping move there under Eric Cancel. Capo Kane, the number three, is in front. Winds up running third, though, passed by risk-taking, and eventually gets passed by the number six, Overtook, who's making a nice late run here for Rapoli and Pletcher. And keep your eye on that six horse, because again, this one's notable as well. But the winner, risk-taking, 89 buyer figure. That's a progression, a lifetime best, a progression through the first four starts of the career. So this horse is now two for two around two turns. And again, just figured it out or appreciated the distance, because the first couple of starts of the career, one of them was at a mile and a 16th, but it was the Aqueduct turf. So there was a dirt sprint and a turf start. Dirt, two turns in the career start number three back in December was a nice win, and then we saw what happened yesterday in the Withers. So they have a nice little runner, Chad and Klarovich, to kind of point towards the Derby Trail potentially. And it sounds like this one won't be pointed to the Gotham, because that would be a step backwards distance wise, but they do potentially have the Wood Memorial on their agenda going forward. So risk taking good looking, as I say, three-year-old for Chad and Klarovich. But again, Overtook, that horse that overtook Capo Kane coming down the lane, This is a runner for Rapoli and Company and Todd Pletcher. They paid $1 million for this horse and clearly didn't start the career living up to that. Like risk-taking, took three starts to break the maiden, and the first two were not particularly inspiring. A fourth-place finish in the debut, a second-place finish in the second start. Now, the second start is a little notable because it's a third-place finish. It's a third-place finish in the second start behind Known Agenda and Greatest Honor. So there was a little bit of a key race kind of a thing, perhaps. And then the follow-up to that in the third start of the career wins. But the buyers were a little light. However, yesterday's buyer for risk-taking was an 89, so Overtook is going to be in that mid-80s range. So the buyer number jumped up nicely and notably and now has put a couple of races together. So Overtook may be similar to risk-taking in that maybe it took a couple of starts to kind of figure the game out and get going, because it was a nice little late run to get up there. You know, about the eighth ball, you weren't thinking Overtook was going to do anything, but did make the nice late run to get up to run second in there. The chart margin between first and second was almost four lengths, but Overtook cleared Capo Kane by a length and a quarter. So Overtook will be interesting to watch going forward. As I say, the winner, risk-taking, is very nice, but Overtook worth watching as well. Donegal Bay, a little bit of a disappointment. That one was coming up off a maiden breaker down at Gulfstream for Todd Pletcher. And Donegal Bay, who was the second choice, the third choice, actually. It was risk-taking, Capo Kane, and then Donegal Bay, the Pletcher runner, the other Pletcher runner, was the third choice. Winds up seventh in the field of nine. So a little bit disappointing for that one. All right, let's take a look at another runner I liked. If you're watching the stakes preview, tossed out a couple of these, and Candyman Rocket was one of them, as well as Risk Taking. And Candyman Rocket, we also talked about this one yesterday on Racing Across America with Riley Mott, who is assistant to his father, Bill Mott. And we talked about Candyman Rocket and Nova Rags going 1-2 in the Sam Davis. So it was fun to have Riley on in the morning, and the Mott team teaming up for a really nice exacta there. I had Candyman Rocket on top, Nova Rags in the third spot. Splitting those two was Known Agenda. Known Agenda was disappointing in here, running fifth as the 3-2 choice and was way back early. John Velasquez had a good day yesterday, but Known Agenda did not add to that. Pletcher runner hadn't been seen since the Remsen. Known Agenda is the number three chicklet, which you can't even see here. But number nine is Candyman Rocket. Number eight is Nova Rags, the two Mott runners. Hidden Stash, the number one, runs third. Boca Boy, seven, runs fourth. And for a while, you had to wonder, ooh, is the Mott exactly going to get split? But no, they hold on, running 1-2. Candyman Rocket, a nice little $8 and change price at 8-1. Nova Rags, coming out of a win in the Pasco over the track, 8-1, completes the exacta. And the Mott exacta with, again, I thought two perfectly logical horses, you wound up with $66 and change on the nice Mott exacta. But Candyman Rocket, this is a nice looking runner who started the career on the slop at Churchill with a disappointing effort at 22-1. Followed that up, breaking the maiden pretty impressively at Gulfstream at 7-1 with a solid buyer of 85. Paired that up yesterday, had an 85 buyer yesterday at Tampa in the Sam Davis. Nova Rags, again, local ownership there. Michael Shanley for Bill Mott. Coming out of a win in the Pasco, good-looking second, picked up some points, some derby points as well. So the two Mott runners both looked pretty good yesterday in the Sam Davis. Disappointment, again, Known Agenda. And Smiley Sabatka for Dale Romans, who had run a close-up second in the Kentucky Jockey Club. Smiling Sabatka winds up ninth in the field of 12. So there were a couple of disappointments in there, a couple of good-looking efforts on the front end, however, from the Mott runners. We'll see where they go next. You know, you would think both horses now with some nice experience over the track, you would think Tampa Bay Derby probably out there as the next possible start for one or both of those runners. All right, and finally, let's go out to the West Coast and take a look at the San Vicente. A short field in here of five. And, of course, Bob Baffert always with live runners out at Santa Anita in the three-year-old stakes. I think one of the articles I read, this is the fourth straight graded three-year-old stake that has been run out in Southern California, won by a Baffert runner, which, again, no shock. Bob Baffert loaded with the three-year-old stakes runners on their way to the Kentucky Derby. But as we watch, it will be the number six concert tour getting it done for Bob Baffert. Freedom Fighter, the number one, runs second for Bob Baffert. Running third is the Chosen Vron. But it's Baffert running 1-2. Concert Tour coming out of a nice-looking maiden breaker at Santa Anita back in the middle of January. Gets it done very nicely. That was 6 furlongs, stretches to 7 furlongs here. Chart margin half a length over stablemate Freedom Fighter, who was also coming out of a maiden breaker, albeit for this one, that was going back to Del Mar in the very early part of August. A nice string of workouts underneath for Freedom Fighter. And, you know, as a comeback effort, that was a good-looking try. So two more really nice three-year-olds in the Baffert barn, certainly. And the article I was reading, the follow-up article in the DRF, I said something like, it's hard to know where these will go next. And I forget how it was worded, but it was essentially, when you have this many three-year-olds, how do you keep them apart? But this is not Bob Baffert's first rodeo. So you would think some of those three-year-olds will certainly show up down at Oaklawn. He's taken that path before. But Baffert with, once again, a live string of three-year-olds on the way to the Kentucky Derby. All right, that takes us through yet another edition of Racing Across America. We appreciate your tuning in this morning. Again, appreciate also the sponsorship of Gulfstream Park, sponsoring some of the programming and events here at Capital OTB. One event I want to alert you to is on this Super Bowl Sunday, double promotion here at the Clubhouse Racebook, a win a bet and a match bet promotion. That's this afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. One more reminder, if you're looking for Aqueduct today, they have postponed, expecting some snowy weather down in the New York area. They moved today's card to tomorrow. So if you're expecting Aqueduct, but more importantly, maybe if you've already handicapped, hold on to those thoughts because the card will be run in its entirety intact tomorrow, Monday at Aqueduct, a special Monday card at the Big A. So keep that in mind for racing not only this afternoon, but tomorrow as well. Without Aqueduct, again, I'll be back in, you know, an hour or so with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. We'll look at a little Gulfstream. We'll look at some Tampa. I'll toss some Oaklawn into the mix. Should be a lot of fun. Had a nice day yesterday. Hope you were tuned in and took advantage of some of the thoughts. I always say the game plan is toss something out there that catches your ear, throw it into your mix, and then hopefully walk up and cash a ticket. And I think those possibilities were all around yesterday. We will see if we can continue with some lucrative and productive thoughts on this Sunday afternoon OTB Live. And as I say, that'll come up in about an hour or so. So we appreciate your tuning in this morning, as always, and we look forward to seeing you in just about an hour or so for OTB Live. Thanks again for tuning in. See you in a few.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.